Welcome to this audio sermon presented by Blue Letter Bible. Due to the fragile nature of cassette tape storage, a portion of the beginning of this teaching became inaudible. Fortunately, we do not believe any of the spiritual content or the applications contained within the rest of this message have been affected. We thank you for listening, and may the Lord richly bless the time you spend in His Word.
Now, through December, we have been studying passages about the prophecies of Christ, what Isaiah predicted 800 years before the birth, what Micah had written 500 years before, what the angel had announced to Mary before the birth, that she would be with child of the Holy Spirit, would have a son, would call his name Jesus. We studied the passage where the angel came to Joseph and said to Joseph, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She shall bear a son, you'll call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins." Now today, we come to the actual event. These other passages are prophecies of what would happen, and today we read the passage where it actually did happen. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in cloth, laid him in the animal's feeding trough, because there was no room in the inn. So here, we'll just take a quick look at this passage in three ways. The event itself, the explanation of it, and the experience of it, three E's. So you can remember this passage. First of all, then, the event itself. Christmas, the birth of Christ. It is actual, it is real, it is historically real and true. He was born. And he's born in the place that Micah the prophet predicted, or was told by God 500 years before, that he would be born in Bethlehem. Now that's really an amazing truth to know ahead of time, that in this little village, in a very small country, the prophet pinpoints the very village where he would be born. It's Bethlehem. But Bethlehem is significant because of its relation to King David, who may have been the greatest king Israelites ever had. So now God has predestinated and planned that this event would happen on the exact day and in the exact place. Now how is he going to do it? How is he going to arrange for Joseph, who lives in Nazareth, and Mary, who lives in Nazareth, to be at the right place at the right time for the birth, so that they would be in Bethlehem? Now, God uses the most powerful empire on earth to bring about his plan. He uses the ruler, Caesar Augustus, and he employs him to bring about this birth the way he's planned. So Caesar Augustus issues a decree that everybody in his empire is to be registered for taxes. Now, we don't think this is very funny because of our taxes today, but you've got to look at the humor of this, that God uses the most powerful ruler on the earth to issue a decree that all his empire should be taxed, and so they have to register in their place. So Joseph and Mary have to travel from Nazareth and be in Bethlehem at the right time. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son. God did it. He had planned it. All through these years of Old Testament history, God was preparing for the birth of Christ on the perfect day, in the perfect place, in the perfect way, through the Virgin Mary, which makes Christ sinless and the only one who could possibly save us from our sin. Another important matter concerning this birth is the humble circumstances. Here is the most important person to enter the human race, God Himself, Christ, who is the eternal God, became human. And how did He do it? Well, there was no parade, there was no band, there was no party. He's in a stable, and He is born and placed in the animal's feeding trough. The humble circumstances that God uses. This is a great thing and a great lesson for us in our pomp and circumstance to think of how God Himself entered the human race. So we have an event. And whether or not people want to believe it, it's real. Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem as a literal event. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in cloth, laid him in an animal's trough, and so he is born. We could say, so what? What does it matter? So a baby was born to a lady named Mary. They named him Jesus almost 2,000 years ago. Well, there's something behind this that catches our attention, because there's an explanation in verses 8 through 14, which were read to us, about the shepherds who were watching their flock. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. So we have a significant event here concerning the birth of Christ. And the angel said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news." This is good news of great joy for all people. Verse 11, here is the explanation of Christmas. Here is what it is all about. Here is why it is important. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Who is this baby? What we are looking at in the manger is God Himself being born here through the Virgin Mary. And what we see in the manger is sovereignty. The sovereignty of God is in the manger. He is ruling, He is controlling, He is doing what He'd always planned to do. And Christ, who is the eternal God, From all eternity, before there was any creation, we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Christ is His eternal title. He is Christ, the Anointed One. He becomes Jesus. Jesus is His human name. And it's taken from the Hebrew word Yeshua, which means Savior. So Christ became Jesus, and He is the Savior. The one thing the human race needed and needs today is a Savior. We don't really need anything else. We need to be prepared for eternity, to have sins forgiven, and the gift of life, eternal life, that comes through God's grace. Now, who could qualify to be your Savior? Well, you certainly can't save me, because you've already sinned. And I certainly can't save you, because I am contaminated and polluted with my sin. So we need someone else who can qualify to die for us to pay the penalty we deserve. And the only one, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. It can't be Abraham, it can't be Moses, it can't be David, it can't be the Apostle Paul, it can't be anyone else who ever lived other than Christ. This is the explanation. Here is an event. He was born. Well, who is he? Here is good news. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And we who believe in him have the message the world needs. This is good news. And there isn't much else you can read or hear about today that's so great. In fact, it's kind of depressing. But here is good news. Christ came to be the Savior. Well, what about the personal experience? You could read about it. It's here on the pages of the Bible. It's on the pages of other books. How does it become real? And how does it get down into our life so that our life is changed and we have a commitment and a purpose for living? Well, it's recorded in verses 13 to 20 where the shepherds got in on the personal experience of Christmas. So it was when the angel had gone away into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came hurriedly, found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. The angel had exactly, precisely correct information. He said, "You will find the babe lying in a manger." So they went. And they came and found it as it was told to them. So what did they do to get on the personal experience? They went to see, you might say, if you want to know who Christ really is, come and see. Do a little personal investigation. Do a little study about it because you can't ignore him. If he is not the Savior, then he is the judge. And he is the one who consigns to hell forever. So he can't be ignored. So what do we do? We come and see. Make a personal investigation. Don't take someone else's word for it. Look into the scriptures and find out what God has really said. Come and see for yourself is the biblical invitation. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all who heard it marveled at those things which were told by the shepherd. So it's come and see and go and tell. Christianity is a mission. Every Christian is a missionary. And every Christian has a desire to make the message known. We can't be quiet about it. We can't be still about it. If we have the good news about the forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life, we want to tell it. The shepherds began to tell it. And so we come and see, and we go and tell. And it's just as natural as anything for a Christian to talk about the gospel of Christ. Reminds me of Christmas. We saw a little boy this morning out on his skateboard. And when he unwrapped that, probably one of the first things he wanted to do is go and tell his neighbor. And another kid got a football. And somebody else got rollerblades. And somebody got a doll. And they wanted to go and tell. We have a message of great joy, and if we go and tell in personal experience of what we have seen and heard, and then we learn that the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen and was told. So they became people who worshiped. They came to see. They go and tell. and they continue in the worship of Christ, praising and glorifying God. That's the purpose of their life. A reason for living this life here on earth is to continue to worship Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You again for Your Word. I thank You that You have revealed truth that grips our lives and changes our hearts and gives us a purpose. Thank You for this passage from Luke, as it's recorded to us the actual event, the identification of Jesus of Nazareth, and how it enters into our personal experience. We ask You now to take it, lift it off the page, and bring it into our heart by the power of the Holy Spirit and through Your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.